fresh rallies in solidarity with Palestinians. And the Iranian president says that the defeat Israel suffered in the ground invasion of Gaza was even heavier than the one inflicted on it during Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. Now, Israel war on the Gaza Strip is in its 23rd day. The regime is pounding the besieged territory from ground, sea, and air as fighting is ongoing between resistance groups and regime forces. Israel has hit areas around the Al-Quds hospital that shelters some 14,000 people. The Palestinian Red Crescent saying it's received serious threats to immediately evacuate the hospital. Israel has said that its ground troops are fighting inside Gaza. The Qassam Brigade said that Israeli forces trying to enter from the east of Rafah were forced to draw back from the besieged territory. The military wing of Hamas also announced destroying two Israeli tanks in northern Gaza. Meanwhile, Palestinians living in the besieged territory are facing a dire humanitarian situation, but they refuse to leave their homes.
We will stay here whether Israeli forces come in by land or by airstrikes. Whatever happens, we will be steadfast. We will not make the same mistakes we made in 1948 when they displaced us from our homes. Until the last moment, we will remain here. This is our land, and we will not leave. Any day now, we're going to go back and live upon the ruins of our homes.
We cannot handle anymore. Even mountains wouldn't bear what we're going through. We reached a state where we wish to have died under the rubble just to find some rest. Our life is torture. We wait in line for 3 hours to use the toilet.
As you see, this is what happened. This is not just shelling, but an earthquake. Honestly, it's like an earthquake. I do not know what to say. May God take revenge from them. But despite this destruction, pain, martyrs, injuries, we are a nation that does not kneel but to God.
The Palestinians in Gaza are reportedly using seawater for survival. Health Ministry has urged the international community to pressure Tel Aviv into halting attacks on health infrastructure. The ministry says that hospital operations are severely hampered by the presence of thousands of displaced people sheltering there. More than 8,000 Palestinians have lost their lives to Israeli relentless bombardments of Gaza that began on October 7th. 70% of the casualties are women, children, and the elderly. Now, meantime, people around the world keep demonstrating in solidarity with Palestinians in the midst of growing anti-Israel sentiment over the regime's brutal aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip. Now, thousands gathered in Australia's largest city, Sydney, supporting Palestinians. Ralliers could be heard chanting, "Shame Israel," while calling the Australian government complicit in the genocide happening in Gaza. In the Spanish capital, thousands marched in central Madrid, denouncing Israel's continued bombardment of Palestinians. Hundreds of Lebanese protesters also took to the streets of Beirut, calling for an end to the regime's bloodshed. Pro-Palestine rallies have been held since Israel started its mass killing of civilians in Gaza, even though many countries have placed restrictions on such protests. The New Yorkers have flooded the streets of the city to protest the unconditional U.S. support for Israel and to call for the liberation of Palestine.
We are sick and tired of it, and we are here as New Yorkers to say that we're against this, and we're against the politicians, the local politicians as well, like New York City Mayor Eric Adams and New York State Governor Kathy Hochul, who have both pledged unconditional support to Israel, which means that they provide unconditional support to the killing of our people. They do not represent their constituents. They do not represent New York City, and you're going to see that loud and clear today.
Today's important because what we saw in the last 24 hours, as we've been seeing in the last 75 years of occupation, is Gaza is in a complete blackout. Israel has cut off electricity, water, food, connection, and even transportation in and out of Gaza. And so that's why today is extremely important that we're mobilizing all across New York City, flooding Brooklyn, flooding our streets, to make it clear that that call for liberation for each and every single Palestinian is clear and it will happen within our lifetime.
We are here to support the Palestinian brothers. We are one nation, one brothers, one Muslim country.
Now, people also took to the streets of the French city of Marseille to show solidarity with Palestinians and to condemn the Israeli atrocities against them.
Several protests have been banned, and that frustrated a lot of people. Today, we have an authorized demonstration, and everything's going well. There has been no breakage, nothing at all. People want to show that they are in solidarity with the Palestinians and don't support France's positions.
Today's message is to give our support to the Palestine people and tell them that we are there for them. We are their voices. In Gaza today, there is no internet connection and they can no longer talk to us. We can't talk to them and we don't hear from them.
I'm here to show solidarity with the Palestinian people. Here in Marseille is a super multicultural, diverse city, and so to stand in solidarity with people who are having their lives absolutely razed and an act of genocide felt like something important for me to do rather than just sitting around at home, you know, watching the news feeling useless about it.
The Iranian president says that the defeat that Israel suffered in the ground invasion of Gaza was even heavier than the one inflicted during Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. In an interview, Ryan Raisi said that Tel Aviv claimed it was surprised by the operation on October 7th, but it was armed to the teeth when it invaded Gaza and was forced to pull out. He said the victory for the Palestinian nation also came despite the U.S. and several European countries providing military and financial support for Israel. Raisi added that Operation Al-Aqsa Flood was the result of 75 years of Palestinian anger building up over the Israeli occupation, crimes, and desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque. He stressed that Tehran supports and approves of the actions of resistance forces across the region, but they are independent in their decision-making and actions. The president said that the U.S. and Israel cannot eliminate the resistance movement, as resistance is not limited to one particular person or group. It's in the blood of Palestinians. Now, since Israel launched its deadly onslaught on Gaza, there has been a spike in cyber attacks targeting their regime. Now, an activist group says it succeeded to hack into Mossad systems.
We have done the largest hack operation in the century versus the most demanding secret service in the world, which have spent billions on its security. Our operations show that the dictators just know how to kill child's patients and innocent people. All of the informations about Mossad and IDF do not worth more than $50. Today, the hacking process of the Zionist regime national network will be shown to the world. Soon, every data about secret officers, such as their name and pictures, will be published. There is no way but to end the war.
Now, the hacktivist group released this footage of what appears to be the emails of Mossad agents, officers, and informants. If the claims of the hacktivist group are verified, it would be a huge blow to Mossad, which considers itself to be one of the most sophisticated and secretive spy agencies in the world. It would also seriously undermine the so-called credibility of Israeli network security companies, which also claim to be global leaders and to have many contracts with organizations across the world. Operation Al-Aqsa Flood exposed a massive Israeli intelligence failure, which many described as humiliating. Okay, now let's begin our special coverage on developments related to Palestine. A couple of guests joining me, Mariam Saleh, our correspondent, is live for us there in South Lebanon. Also with me is Peter Fort. He's a former British ambassador to Syria. He's joining us out of Manchester. Good to have both of you on this special coverage on Palestine. Let's go to South Lebanon to Mariam. The attack on the part of the reprisal attacks, actually, on the part of Hezbollah fighters going on. Tell us about that and what's been going on there in the area where you are.
Well, we just, about an hour ago, unfortunately, we weren't live then, but we can hear the sounds of the shelling right behind us. Behind us is called the Mejidi Plains, if you may say. It's basically at the valley near the Kfar Shuba Hills. That is where the Israelis seem to be venting their anger. They're basically shelling around 7 bombs in that area alone. We also know that near us as well, in the plains of the Shuba Farms, we also had another 4 at least bombs being fired into that area, and there could be probably some casualties, but it's not clear whether it was just livestock or if it was anyone who was close to that area. As you know, most of that area is basically the outskirts of those villages of the Shuba and that Mejidi Plains. We don't have a lot of people living in those areas basically right now. We also know that the Israelis shelled the main road that we usually drive through when we're going from one town to the other near the town of Mais al-Jabal, and that shelling came near a motorcycle, and reportedly we know that there are 2 people who are wounded. Fortunately, it's just slight wounds, as we know. The Israelis, of course, continued their shelling throughout those areas, but so far it is on the outskirts. It is in areas that are far away from the middle or the heart of the towns. But we did have 2 civilian houses that were targeted, not destroyed, but they were targeted. They did lead to some damage in the villages of Aitanun, Marun al-Ras, and Mesa Jabal, I believe, as well. So basically, those are the areas that were shelled by the Israelis. We do have 3 main statements from Hezbollah on the operations that they conducted today. We spoke about one of them earlier. We also had the last statement where Hezbollah said that after monitoring very closely the post of the Malki, they found that there was a big group of soldiers that was gathering in that area, and they targeted them, hitting their targets really precisely, as they said, whether it were with precise or guided missiles or mortars. They said that they clearly hit them. Now, we know that usually Hezbollah broadcasts these footage and the documentation of their operations sometimes the next day or several hours after those operations. So tomorrow we might be seeing video of that operation specifically. Now, just to mention, this place, which is called the Malki, this is considered one of 7 towns which is seen by Hezbollah's resistance and by the government of Lebanon as being Lebanese villages, so Lebanese towns, that were occupied by Israel in 1948. That is something that doesn't come out much. That was when, of course, the exodus occurred and when everyone was being displaced from Palestine. They were also displaced along with the Palestinians, but when it comes to the origins and the demarcated borders between Lebanon and Palestine before 1948, back in the 1920s, actually, those villages were among Lebanese territory. So that post specifically, which was perhaps since the 1940s, as we said, 1948, it's very significant that Hezbollah targeted that post and that infantry, actually, of Israeli soldiers. So that was very significant. We also, I want to mention that it's really stunning that you really can't see where the resistance is launching its operations from or its rockets. We do have, of course, like we said, other resistance groups that are working and launching rockets, but we still cannot see exactly where they are shelling them from, and it seems that the Israelis can't either, and this is why basically they're venting their anger on the rest of the plains here and near the Shuba Farms and other areas as well.
It's a good thing Israelis' forces are receiving surprise on top of surprise. Okay, thanks for that, Mariam Saleh in South Lebanon. Now, Peter Fort. Ambassador Ford, I want to draw your attention before I ask you about the general developments going on there regarding people in Gaza. We have this hacktivist group, not before, it just came to you, releasing this footage of what appears to be emails of Mossad agents, officers, and informants. So if this claim of this hacktivist group, if the claim is verified that they have hacked into Mossad, so much for the Israeli invincible intelligence machine. So is this not another humiliation on top of the Al-Aqsa operation?
Well, every day brings a new embarrassment for the Israelis. Since the 7th of October, it's been one public relations disaster after another. First of all, there was the huge surprise when the resistance forces crossed the border, a blatant failure, obviously, by Mossad and by Israeli defense intelligence, who had previously been so arrogant about knowing what was happening. And since then, there have been military blunders, public relations blunders, loss of support in Western public opinion, and now this latest blow of the Mossad emails. The Israelis are, however, very good at propaganda, and I'm sure they will attempt to play down this latest debacle.
Okay, thanks for that. And with that, we come to the end of this news broadcast from Tehran.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of radio.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Welcome to Listener Special on this Sunday, 29th of October, 2023. I'm Mehran Derakhshande, standing in for my colleague, Atefeh Irfani. Listener Special is the Sunday program where your views matter most. Contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listener Special is your program. It's your views that are most important. Okay, as usual, we have received lots of letters from our listeners from around the world, lots of letters and emails. We have received letters and emails from Najimuddin from Bangladesh. Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island, Rob de Boer from the Netherlands, also Wu Xiaonan from China, Pratima Bhakat from India, and many more. Stay with us for more of your emails and letters. Okay, and we start off your emails and letters by a very nice letter we've received from Najimuddin from Bangladesh. Najimuddin is one of our listeners. He says, "Dear friends, Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for your updated information regarding the recent events in the Gaza Strip and the brutal Israeli airstrikes on this enclave. News and news highlight programs is always my favorite. Your Sunday program, Listener Special, is also another one of my favorites." And Najimuddin from Bangladesh says, "Kindly send me your new program and frequency schedule, printed QSL card with Arabi souvenirs." Well, Najimuddin from Bangladesh will send you an electronic QSL card, eQSL card, and will send you our schedule and a new program and schedule electronically as well, as you've asked for. Also, Najimuddin from Bangladesh says, "Please send me a book on the life of the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the late Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul." Well, Najimuddin, I've discussed your request with my colleagues, and if it's possible, I will send you a book about the life of the late Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul, as you've asked for. We'll discuss that with our colleagues and see what we can do. And thank you very much to our loyal listener, Najimuddin from Bangladesh. We'll be back with more of your emails and letters. Okay, we're back with more of your letters and emails. A nice email here from one of our listeners from the Netherlands. It's Rob de Boer. Rob de Boer. It says, "Dear sir, to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran English service, it's my pleasure to confirm your broadcast, and I hope my reception report is correct. My name is Rob de Boer, and I live in the Netherlands. Please listen to my audio recordings attached." Well, thanks very much, Rob de Boer. Yes, we acknowledge receiving your QSL report, and we'll certainly listen to your recordings, and we'll send you an electronic QSL card. Thanks very much to Rob de Boer from the Netherlands, and keep in touch. And another one of our listeners, it's Bernard Grondin from the Reunion Island. I think it's in the Indian Ocean. It's a French colony in the Indian Ocean. It's Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island, Reunion in Indian Ocean. It says, "I would like to receive your new program and frequency schedule on shortwave in English, French, and other languages. I live on Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean." Well, thanks much to Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island. Some of our listeners may not know exactly where Reunion is, but it's actually close to Madagascar. It's a small island close to the island of Madagascar off the coast of Africa in the Indian Ocean. And Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island will send you a program and frequency schedule electronically as you ask for. And keep on listening to our English and French broadcasts. Thanks very much indeed to Bernard Grondin from Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean. Right, we'll be back with more of your letters and emails. A nice email from one of our listeners in China. It's Wu Xiaonan. Wu Xiaonan from Shenzhen province in China. Wu Xiaonan says, I'm a radio listener in Shenzhen, China. I hope you can issue me a radio listening certificate card, a QSL card, to prove that I've been listening to your station. I hope your station provides listeners with QSL cards, schedule, flag, etc. Well, Wu Xiaonan from China, thanks very much for sending us your nice letter and information. We'll send you an electronic QSL card, as you've asked for, as well as a program schedule that you've asked for electronically. Thanks very much for and keep in touch. Wu Xiaonan from China, thanks very much indeed. And moving on to another one of our listeners from India. It's Pratima Bhakat. Pratima Bhakat from India. It says, Dear IRB friends, my name is Pratima Bhakat from the Foreign Radio Listeners Club based in India. We would appreciate if you can send us your current printed schedules, some souvenirs, stamps, and small gifts as possible. Well, to Pratima Bhakat and all members of the Foreign Radio Listeners Club in India, all of you, a very warm greeting from IRIB here in Tehran, Iran. We'll send you electronically what you've asked for. You've asked for program schedules, some souvenirs and small gifts. We'll send these to you electronically. Thanks very much to our listener, Pratima Bhakat, and all members of the Foreign Radio Listeners Club in India. It's time for a short break. We'll be back. Okay, we're back, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These are very useful to us, particularly to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to all of our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And we have, this week, we have received reception reports from Bernard Grondin, from Reunion Island, near Madagascar in the Indian Ocean, Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean. We've also received reception reports from M.S. Srinivasa Raju from India, and also from Muhammad Brayel from Malaysia. Muhammad Brayel from Malaysia, M.S. Srinivasa Raju from India, and Bernard Grondin from Reunion. All of you will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us, and thanks very much indeed for sending us these reception reports. Well, we have come to the end of our program this week. On behalf of myself, Mehran Darakhshande, and all of the team here in Tehran, Iran, I bid you farewell. Take care and God bless.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi. He's going to talk about Palestinian resistance and the brutal attack of Israel on Gaza Strip.
Looking at the situation in the Middle East, Gaza Strip is burning. Israeli air attacks have turned its buildings into rubble. And a million Palestinians have been displaced from the north towards the south. 4,000 at the numbers that we see now where the Palestinians have been killed and many, many more wounded. According to the NBC report, Israeli airstrikes even targeted Palestinian convoys who were moving towards south, killing 70 civilians. If you remember last week, I mentioned that looking at that incident in isolation doesn't give the full picture. You had to look at the root cause of the cycle of violence, and that is the issue of occupation. The biggest victim of this war is basically the truth, where the truth has been placed with fake news, especially with the speed that we have now in, you know, circulating communication and reports around the world. You know, this becomes even more challenging. And I would like you to remind you of the ayat from Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah number 49, ayat number 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in. That if a sinful person, a person who is not, you know, a righteous person, comes to you with a news, fatabayyanu, investigate that, whether it is true or not. Don't act on it. Otherwise, what will happen? An tusibu qawman bijahalatin. Otherwise, you will react on it and end up, you know, being unfair to the other party. فَتُصْبِحُ عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And then you will regret what you have done when you find out what is the truth. And this is where I think, you know, one of the challenges that we have besides many other challenges is the Palestinians have their own struggle, but there are even struggles and challenges that we face because of that. And so let me just give you one example to make sure that when we go through the news media, you know, reports, and even especially the social media, we have to be very careful about it. This event started the week before on Saturday. Last Monday morning, an Israeli TV news channel by the name of I-24 alleged that Hamas beheaded many Israeli babies in their attack. The reporter of I-24, Nicole Zadek, you know, she went to even to what is now known as X, saying soldiers witnessed bodies of babies with their heads cut off. Hours later, an Israeli military spokesman said that we cannot confirm that. The Israeli army itself says we don't have any confirmation about such an incident. And based on that, some journalists went on the X basically to confirm that the claim was untrue. So this is in the same day. This is happening on Tuesday. Yet on Wednesday morning last week, almost a dozen UK newspapers ran a story as a front page story. You know, some saying 40 babies murdered by Hamas. Some saying babies being murdered or beheaded. But they didn't bother to verify this from even the reports of the night before by other journalists or even the Israeli army, which refused to verify that claim. Remember that this channel known as I-24 is basically very close to Netanyahu, the prime minister. And his office also circulated this fake news. Mark Jones, a scholar and a journalist who even authored the book known as Digital Authoritarianism in the Middle East, Deception, Disinformation, and Social Media, he says that, you know, this unconfirmed report in 24 hours, it was viewed by 44 million people, 300,000 likes, and 100,000 reposts within 24 hours. The Israeli army actually contradicted this public statement made by its own prime minister's office. Yet on Wednesday, we see that Biden claimed, sitting in White House with his Jewish, you know, delegation which had come, where he says, I never really thought that I would see, have confirmed, pictures of terrorists beheading children. I never thought I would ever. And soon after that, U.S. administration letter clarified Biden's remarks by saying that neither the president nor his aide have seen pictures or have received any confirmed reports. What was then he talking about? Unless, you know, it's time for him to retire. You know, and it's in this background that we had to realize that we cannot accept the Israeli claim, even parroted by Biden 2 days ago, that Palestinian militants themselves attack Al-Ahli Hospital in Gaza. And this is where we have to be very careful about it. You know, one of the... and by looking at all this, you know, let me just give you one interesting, you know, description for a veteran U.S. State Department official by the name of Josh Paul, who just resigned from his position yesterday. He was director of the Bureau of Political Military Affairs at the State Department, and he quit in what he described as Biden administration's intellectual bankruptcy, in sending more weapons and ammunition to Israel, you know, because he said, look at the number of the people who have been killed there as far as Gaza is concerned. And he says, the reason why I'm quitting now is because the government rushing to provide arms to Israel. You know, last night, Biden asked for $14 billion to be sent to Israel. According to Josh Paul, he says, you know, this decision is short-sighted, destructive, unjust, and contrary to the very values that we publicly espouse. And this is where, you know, we have to look at this issue and go back to this ayat of Quran. We get all these reports, and we have to shift through it to see, you know, and I'm not saying that when it comes to Hamas, they are masoom. No. We are with the Palestinian people. Nothing to do with Hamas. But whenever we talk about Palestine, this is about the Palestinian people. And collective punishment is not allowed even according to the international laws. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand, as the Prophet has said, Allahumma arin al-haq. O Allah, show me the truth the way it is, so that we can form, you know, educated and informed opinion on these issues.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The United Nations has voted overwhelmingly in favor of a humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian has reiterated the Islamic Republic of Iran's support for the oppressed Palestinian people in the face of Israeli regime's brutal crimes. Amir Abdullahian made the remark in a meeting with the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Friday, 27th of October in New York, to which the top Iranian diplomat has traveled to attend an extraordinary meeting of the UN General Assembly on the issue of Palestine. Amir Abdullahian said the Islamic Republic has placed consistent support for the Palestinian people's liberating struggle and resistance with the aim of complete realization of their human rights among the substantive principles of its foreign policy. Amir Abdullahian repeated Tehran's vehement condemnation of Tel Aviv's ongoing genocide in the Palestinian territory of the Gaza Strip, which the occupying regime has brought under a relentless war for the past 3 weeks. The death toll in Gaza since the start of the Israeli aggression on 7th of October has now reached over 7,400, with more than 20,500 wounded. Silence on the part of some countries, as well as support by the United States, has emboldened the Israeli occupying regime in its deadly attacks against civilians in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian called on the international community, especially the United Nations Security Council, to take prompt action and decisive action and act upon their duty to support the Palestinian people's resistance. He said, Iran backs whatever political solution that would enable immediate cessation of the Israeli regime's ongoing crimes against humanity and genocide in Gaza, continuous transfer of humanitarian aid to the Palestinian territory, and prevention of the people of Gaza's forced displacement. Amir Abdullahian warned that the persistence of the occupying regime's war crimes against the people of Gaza opens the door for the expansion of the hostilities and the formation of new fronts against the Zionist regime across the region. The Iranian foreign minister said establishment of sustainable and just peace in the region would only be possible through the complete cessation of Palestine's occupation, the return of Palestinian refugees to their homeland, and the implementation of a referendum featuring all of Palestine's original inhabitants, and eventually the formation of an independent Palestinian state with the city of Al-Quds as its capital. For his part, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, laid emphasis on Iran's exceptional role in the region, urging the continuation of the Islamic Republic's diplomatic efforts and constructive political endeavors. The UN Secretary General described the current humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip as catastrophic, urging all sides to enable immediate cessation of the warfare and transfer of humanitarian aid to the territory. Antonio Guterres stressed the world body's insistence on political resolution of the standing situation. Meanwhile, the United Nations General Assembly has overwhelmingly passed a resolution calling for implementation of an immediate humanitarian truce in the Gaza Strip. On Friday, 27th of October, The UN General Assembly voted in favor of the resolution that had been drafted by Arab countries with 120 votes in favor, 45 abstentions, and 14 votes against, including Israel and the United States. The UN General Assembly adopted calls for an immediate, durable, and sustained humanitarian truce leading to a cessation of hostilities. The Israeli regime has been waging war against the Gaza Strip since 7th of October, when Hamas and its fellow Gaza-based resistance movement of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad launched their biggest operation against the occupying regime in years. The surprise Palestinian offensive, dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, came in response to the Israeli regime's intensified crimes against Palestinians. The death toll in Gaza since the start of the Israeli aggression has now reached over 7,400, with more than 20,500 Palestinians wounded. The vote at the UN General Assembly came after the United Nations Security Council failed four times in the past 2 weeks to take action, due to the United States' vetoing of resolutions against Israel. The Assembly stressed the importance of preventing further destabilization and escalation of violence in the region and called on all parties to exercise maximum restraint and upon all those with influence on those countries to work towards this objective. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime has rejected all calls for a ceasefire, claiming it would benefit the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas. The UN General Assembly also called on the Israeli regime to rescind its order for Palestinian civilians in Gaza to move to the south of the territory. Israel ordered 1.1 million people in Gaza, almost half of the population of the Strip, to move south on 12th of October, amid threats by the Israeli regime to launch a ground invasion of Gaza. The Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas, and the Palestinian Self-Rule Authority have welcomed the United Nations General Assembly resolution. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority welcomed the UN resolution and demanded it be implemented immediately. "We demand its immediate application to allow the entry of fuel and humanitarian aid for civilians in Gaza," a statement by the resistance movement Hamas emphasized. The rival Ramallah-based Palestinian Authority's foreign ministry said, "As Israel's campaign reaches a new peak of brutality, there was a solid international position rejecting Israel's unhinged aggression." The Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. The United Nations General Assembly has voted overwhelmingly in favor of a resolution calling for an immediate humanitarian truce between Israel and the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas. The 193-member UN General Assembly passed the resolution, drafted by a group of 22 Arab countries, by a margin of 120 votes in favor, 14 votes against, with 45 countries abstaining from voting. The United States of America and the Israeli regime voted no to the resolution. Speaking before the vote, the Jordanian Foreign Minister, Ayman Safadi, said, "The voting against the resolution means approving this senseless war, this senseless killing." Israel denounced the UN vote as infamy. "The resolution is non-binding but serves as a barometer of global opinion, as fighting between the Israeli regime and the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas, nears the end of its third week, following an assault by Hamas on southern Israel that killed more than 1,400 people. The UN body convened as Israel's intensified bombardment of the Gaza Strip, where phone and internet services have been cut off completely, and Israel has engaged in limited ground skirmishes before an expected ground invasion of Gaza. The UN General Assembly voted after the UN Security Council had failed to take action over the past 2 weeks, with the United States using its veto to back the Israeli regime. The adopted resolution calls for an immediate, durable, and sustained humanitarian truce leading to a complete cessation of hostilities, and firmly rejects any attempt at the forced transfer of Palestinian civilian population in the Gaza Strip. The UN General Assembly resolution also stresses the need to avoid a wider escalation of the fighting and demands increased humanitarian aid for the Gaza Strip, where only a small handful of trucks carrying aid have been allowed to enter the territory. A Canadian introduced amendment to the resolution that would have added a condemnation of the Palestinian side did not receive the necessary two-thirds of votes. Meanwhile, the Israeli United Nations Ambassador Gilad Erdan said a ceasefire means giving Hamas time to rearm itself and that the vote was not intended to bring peace but to tie Israel's hands. Speaking on Thursday, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, said the only place for this resolution belongs in the dustbin of history. The resolution, meanwhile, was adopted overwhelmingly by the UN General Assembly.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is the part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with President Raisi and his cabinet on August 30, 2023, on the occasion of Government Week. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be upon Master Muhammad and upon his pure progeny, particularly the remnant of God on earth. May our souls be sacrificed for his sakes, Imam al-Mahdi ajalallah. I would like to welcome all of you here, Mr. President, gentlemen, and our honorable brothers and sisters. I benefited from your reports. I wouldn't have minded if others had given more reports, but since you mentioned that is the gentleman here have requested, I will share a few words with you. Government Week is in fact a link connecting one chapter of the government's life to another chapter. So during this week, you are looking at the year that has passed while also looking at the year ahead. You can make comparisons, you can gain experience, and you can learn lessons from these. This week is adorned with the names of the two noble martyrs, Martyr Rajai and Martyr Bahonar. There is a point to note here. What images is in our minds of these two martyrs that we would like our ministers, officials, and senior managers to strive toward? What is that image?
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
We did not have the opportunity to see the output of their work. Martyr Rajai was president for about a month, and Martyr Bahonar was prime minister during the same period. Martyr Rajai had also previously been prime minister for several months and had faced a difficult situation at that time. Therefore, we are not concerned with the output of these two honorable men, and we do not have any signs or traces of their work. What is it that we are concerned with then? Why do we speak about these two individuals? The point is their intention, is their orientation. The orientation of these two dear martyrs was toward Allah and the revolution. Those who knew these two up close can verify my words that these two men were pursuing something that all martyrs and all those who fight for the cause of Allah are pursuing. This is what they were seeking. In other words, their lives were in line with their destiny. They sought God's satisfaction, just like all our martyrs did and all those who struggled sincerely for the cause of Allah.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created.